Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible, and I'm tackling the book of Genesis now. And we still haven't gotten through the commentary, so we're going to continue tonight with the commentary and go as far as we can, where the Lord stops me and lets me know that people can only retain so much, they tell me. And so we'll just cut it short, probably around between 30 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour. No more of these hour and 90 or 60, let's say 90 minute tapes, hour and a half. So let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this tape. Father, we thank and praise your holy name. We ask that you bless this tape. Bless the words into the spirits, the souls, the spiritual minds of everyone that hears this tape. Let it be for a very enduring, constant life in you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
All right, let's begin.
Finally, we understand human nature in the right way.
But we have to know human nature. When you start reading the book of Genesis, you see that a sin began after these two perfect people were in the Garden of Eden. They were fellowshipping with the Lord, and then sin entered in. And then we saw human nature occur. And it has to dawn on everybody that we're born with that human nature in our flesh, because Adam sinned, and Eve is the same as Adam because they're one flesh, husband and wife. We all have inherited the Adamic sin on our souls, and it has to be removed. And that is only removed, see, the tree of life was taken away, which is Jesus. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, when he washes away all of our sins, we step into salvation, the tree of life comes back to us. And then, of course, in eternity, we have the tree of life throughout eternity, mentioned in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. So continue on.
Finally, we understand human nature in the right way, but only as we grasp the reality or truth of, quote, original sin. When Adam sinned, all of us not only sinned, but we have inherited a sinful nature which resides in us.
In other words, it stays in us. That's why we constantly need the Lord Jesus Christ to stay in us, to overpower the sinful nature. The Bible states that the Spirit of God in us mortifies the deeds of the flesh, or the sinful nature of the flesh. And so I believe we have three scriptures here for you to read. Okay, go ahead, read.
Genesis 8:21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth.
Right. You're born with the Adamic nature, and it's there from your youth. That's why we have to have Christ in us in order to mortify that, to kill that nature. We have to be converted. We have to be changed. We have to have a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit. We have to become members of Christ. That's quite simple. And the operation of that is simply asking Christ to enter in by the Spirit. And that's when it begins. And as we learn the Word of God, Christ matures in us. And the more he matures in us, the more power over our sinful nature we have, to where it no longer bothers us after a spell. But we have to continue in the Word abiding in us, so that the sinful nature that abides in us will be overpowered, overwhelmed with the nature of Christ, the divine nature. Do you understand that, everybody?
Yes.
Okay, good. Then what?
Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous.
Right. Well, because Christ was righteous and he was resurrected from the dead, went into heaven, he became the fullness of the Godhead, he became the Holy Spirit, and so he enters into us, and we, many of us, are made righteous by his power living in us, because it overwhelms our sinful nature, as the Lord does. Okay, then what?
Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
No, because in the flesh is the sinful nature. But inside his spirit is the mingled the spirit of God in Christ, which gives him the divine nature. And of course he's matured, and he has power over his flesh now in him, in his spirit, because the flesh is of no profit whatsoever. Then what?
For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not.
He finds it not in himself, but he finds it only in the Spirit of God. Okay, that's the seventh chapter. Amen.
Amen.
Because in the eighth chapter it says, therefore there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, because the Spirit of God mortifies the sinful nature. He says he can't find out. He has to have the Lord. We can't do anything without the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Back into the commentary. Only God's Savior, which is Jesus, is able to save us completely from our inherited, corrupt, sinful nature.
Amen. Okay, then what?
Christ existed before creation. Christ is revealed, is the living Word, and was totally involved in creation.
Right. The Bible plainly tells us that there isn't anything that was made that was not made by Him. Amen? So
Amen.
That makes Him absolutely, totally involved with creation. He did it all. Amen?
Amen.
We have to remember that the Son, Christ, is also the Father and the Holy Spirit. There's only one God, and those three are one. Amen?
Amen.
So He did it all. His Word says so. Okay, and it wasn't God the Father that Moses saw the hinder parts of, because the Father doesn't have a shape. The only one that has a shape is Jesus. So when he saw the form of a man, it looked like it was Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And when Abraham saw, one of the people that went to visit him out of the three was God. Amen?
Amen.
The other two, I don't know who they were, angels, right?
Amen.
God stayed with Abraham, and the other two went into Sodom. Okay? Or one of the angels stayed with Abraham and God, and God the Son, and one of the angels went into Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen?
Amen.
Because three were at Abraham, and two went into Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, then what?
All things were created by Him and for Him. Nothing was made that was made without Him. John 1:3.
And that is talking about Jesus. Then what?
The ministry of Jesus is spoken of in Genesis 3:15. Quote, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman.
Now, well, who is that enmity? After humanity had lost their place with God, they had no more power to be an enemy of Satan, because Adam gave Satan control of the world. And so the only way that man can fight Satan is not by himself anymore, because Satan has all power over man until we have the power of Christ in us. Only Christ has defeated Satan. And we can defeat him only if we're in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That is, only after we're in God in Christ. So, you know, this is really not complicated if you think about it. Amen? You
Amen.
Meditate on it. Okay, then what?
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Well, the Lord said he's going to crush his head. That the seed of the woman is going to crush his head. And this is talking, the seed is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Genesis 3:15 tells us that the, quote, seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's, Satan's, head in Jesus our Lord. He is the, quote, seed of Abraham, mentioned by Paul in Galatians 3:16.
So we go to Galatians 3:16, so there's no great pause here. I'll talk a little bit. Go ahead.
Quote, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made.
Abraham and his seed. didn't talk about seas. He talked about seed, one seed. That's Christ. Amen? That all nations would be blessed through Abraham's seed. Jesus. Okay, then what?
He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ.
Amen. This is Bible. The Bible is God. The Word of God is God. Then what?
Back into the commentary. Melchizedek is the mysterious king priest of chapter 14.
Since in Genesis, okay?
Yeah.
Then what?
Since Jesus our Lord is both king and high priest, the letter to the Hebrews makes this fact believable and appropriate identification. Hebrews 6:20.
Now remember, this is Genesis that I'm talking about here, but you know, you have to go all over the place, the whole Bible, to explain Genesis, because Genesis talks about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And Moses wrote Genesis, and Jesus said that Moses wrote about me. Amen?
Amen.
In many different places. All right, now go ahead.
Hebrews 6:20, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Back into the commentary. The greatest revelation of Christ in Genesis is found in the establishment of God's covenant with Abraham in chapters 15 and 17. God made glorious promises to Abraham, and Jesus is the fulfillment of those promises. This truth is explained in great detail by Paul in Galatians. A lot of the Bible is built upon the covenant with Abraham, and it comes completely into focus in Jesus our Lord. The chilling truths regarding Abraham's willingness to sacrifice Isaac as God commanded bears an electrifying similarity to the New Testament. In this way, quote, take your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him there as a burnt offering. Genesis 22:2.
Right, because God wanted to show human beings, would you give your only begotten son to die for the sinners of this world? And so he's telling Abraham, just do as I tell you, sacrifice your son. Because I'm going to sacrifice my son. I want you to know what it's to, what it feels like to do something like that. And then God relented and stated no. And Abraham said, God will supply a sacrifice. And the sacrifice was his own son. All right, then what?
Genesis 22:2 is to remind us of God's willingness to sacrifice his only son for the sins of the world. And Jacob's blessing upon Judah, foretelling of the coming of, quote, Shiloh, end quote, quote, King Jesus, end quote, who is to be identified as the Messiah.
Right. Okay, go ahead.
Quote, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Genesis 49:10.
Which it says, the gathering of the people. People don't gather unless they are obedient to the Lord, unless they are obedient. So that's why we change it to obedience. Okay, then what else?
Heading, the Holy Spirit at work. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Genesis 1:2. Here we find the Holy Spirit of God involved in creation. The Holy Spirit was also at work with Joseph. This truth was obvious to Pharaoh.
Right, Pharaoh knew that he was—he had the Spirit of God in him. Amen?
Amen.
That's why he made him second in command of the entire country, the nation of Egypt. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Quote, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Genesis 41:38.
That's what Pharaoh said of Joseph. Can't find anybody like this in the world. This one of a kind, Mr. Joseph. Amen?
Amen.
You don't find this rare thing in this world. Everybody else is ordinary, but not Joseph. Joseph is extraordinary. Amen?
Amen.
Extraordinary. Then what?
We see the Holy Spirit at work when he drew the animals from all over the earth into Noah's ark.
Well, when who did that?
The Holy Spirit.
Amen?
Amen.
You think that Noah went all over the world to get these animals?
No.
Went over to Philippines to get the monkeys and over someplace else to get the elephants? No. The Holy Spirit drew them all to Noah. Amen?
Yeah.
So that's the Holy Spirit at work in the book of Genesis. And the Holy Spirit hovering over the water. And then what?
We see the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of the patriarchs as he protected them and their families, and he blessed them materially. All kinds of different times and seemingly impossible situations came to the chosen people of God to frustrate them if possible.
Right, that's what the devil wants to do, is to frustrate you, to make you feel that you're not worthy to be saved, and that you're different than anybody else, and you're so wicked that you just can't have the same relationship with the Lord as some of God's chosen people. But many are called to be God's holy people, and a few are chosen to help lead all those that are called into the same relationship that those that have been chosen. But all the called people can have the same relationship. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't say so. You have to believe God that he spoke the universe into being, the galaxies, and you have to believe that he wants to have a personal relationship with everyone. The Bible says that he's your personal Savior. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord really gets involved with humanity. He wants you to be a God-man or a God-woman. Amen?
Amen.
He wants to be you to be partners with him. The Lord wants to have a real partnership with humanity. But he wants to give you the divine nature so that it becomes more in you than your carnal nature. But you have to believe that that's possible, or it won't be. It'll never happen. You've got to believe God's word. He said, all things are possible. Only believe. Amen?
Amen.
And he that moves into you is greater than him that's in the world. Now, the devil's strong, but God is stronger. Amen?
Amen.
When God's in you, nothing. He says, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So you have to believe that. All right? You have to believe that the Lord wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants communion with you. Not just me or the Apostle Paul or anyone like that or Moses. He wants you to be happy in him and to have great joy in him and to get your eyes off of yourself and put your eyes upon him. He wants you to be happy. Amen?
Amen.
And we can go through all kinds of trials and tribulations and still be happy. If you think you've gone through trials and tribulations, take a look at the life of Paul and Joseph. And for that matter, myself. I've been stoned and stomped and put in prison and jails and everything else. And do I look sad?
No.
Look it. See, I'm smiling, huh? All right, then what else? And if I can be happy going through all that sort of thing, and meant much more, I don't want to get into detail, well, then you should be able to be happy too. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what else?
The devil, if he possibly could, frustrate the fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham for us all, but the power of the Holy Spirit supernaturally resolved every challenge. Heading the Bible. The Holy Bible is the book about our recovery, human recovery. It is the record of how the world began and how God created the world to be good.
Yeah, he said everything is good except when he made man. And he said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Amen?
Amen.
Everything was good up until that point. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, we got to create a woman for this man. And then after he created the woman and he had a wife, then he says, okay, everything's good now. Amen?
Amen.
So it takes some time, you know, a little bit for the humans to desecrate the things that the Lord has made. So we have to go into recovery. We have to strive for perfection. We have to live a life in Christ. Okay, go ahead.
It is the record of how the world began and how God created the world to be good. And when he did, it was good. Then the Bible tells us about the beginning of sin. It tells us about the very first time people decided to reject God's plan, his purpose.
Right. Everything was fine until sin came into the world. And everything is not going to be fine if you sin. It just doesn't happen. That's why you see so many unhappy faces, is because people sin. But when you've been free from the power of sin, when the Lord enters into your life, then you have victory and you have happiness and joy. Amen?
Amen.
And when you keep reading the word of the Lord and you keep understanding the word of the Lord, you have more and more victory and more joy. Amen?
Amen.
Victory upon victory. Every day it's more and more victory. And that gives you more and more faith, because you know that the word of the Lord, when you hear it and you understand it, that you don't feel that tugging at your flesh or the temptations bugging you that much anymore, do you?
No.
See? So you see that the spirit that's incorporated within the word does mortify earthly and worldly feelings and fleshly feelings. Amen?
Amen?
And temptations grow faint and dim in the light of the glorious Lord's, who is the Word of God. He takes all the power out of sin and the power of Satan over you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, then what?
It spells out the fatal consequences.
Yeah, when you learn about what happened, you read the Bible, you see what the fatal consequences of sin are. And people start wising up. You say, my God, look at this guy. He did good and he's saved. And he got good rewards. And this other one didn't. He sinned and then he is destroyed. And then we have the flood. People decided to sin some more and then God killed them all. So we see the horrible consequences of what sin causes, and then some people that have a brain in their head start wising up, and they start saying, hey, we've got to get a hold of the Lord, amen, so that we don't wind up the same way that all these other people did. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? Go ahead.
It spells out the fatal consequences, the final result from rejecting the outline of God's program.
Yeah, now when you reject the outline, or the roadmap of God's program of how to enter into the kingdom of heaven, then there's horrible consequences. That's called sin, because sin is the transgression of God's program, his law, the laws of life, the laws of, you know, there's laws on the highway to get to Shreveport or to Baton Rouge or over to New Orleans. You have to follow the highway. You can't go across the swamps in your car, you know. An alligator's liable to crawl in the window. Okay? Or something worse. You could sink. All right, then what else? You have to follow the guidelines. Amen?
Amen.
It's the same thing trying to get into heaven. There's just a clear path in the word of the Lord. And just follow it. Or the consequences are horrible. Consequences are hell. In the lake of fire. Then what?
However, the Bible doesn't leave us in despair. It reveals God's one and only plan for human recovery. That is, to gain back eternal life with the Lord back in heaven.
Yeah, so that you can go to heaven, right? You want to get your eternal life back. Adam and Eve had eternal life, but they lost it. And now the Lord has made a plan to where we can regain that same status that Adam and Eve had, and even better. Because the Garden of Eden wasn't as nice as heaven is. Amen?
Amen.
Heaven is more elaborate. more beautiful, and it's permanent. But we have to put on the whole armor of God in order to be able to resist Satan. Then what?
It reveals God's one and only plan for human recovery, that is, to gain back eternal life with the Lord back in heaven. And that is for us to be able to get back to God, the source of the power, to get back to God.
Yeah, we have to have the source of God's power in us in order to get back to God. So that means that we have to forget our old life, forget ourselves and the life that we were living before. And don't be condemned for what you did before, because the Lord washes it away and drowns it in the sea of His forgetfulness and never remembers anything that you ever did before. You become a new creation, a new creature. You were a bug before, but now you're a butterfly. Okay? And so if the Lord forgives you, then you have to learn to forgive yourself. Amen?
Amen.
But just don't go into sin anymore. Or a worse thing will happen to you. You won't be able to repent. You won't be able to be saved. Okay, then what?
The Bible provides us with the only path or way for becoming whole. It is God's detailed outline for reconciliation and healing.
Right. Now, a wife becomes whole when she has a husband. And a husband becomes whole when he has a wife. There's like, it makes one whole person. Adam and Eve were Adam. They fulfill each other. Amen?
Amen.
And then we are not, even then, we're not whole until we have Christ, until Christ enters into us. Then we are made whole. We're totally recovered. If we continue on in the Lord to the end, then what?
The Bible provides us with the only path or way for becoming whole. It is God's detailed outline for reconciliation and healing, complete healing for spirit, soul, and body.
Reconciliation to the Lord, to be reconciled to Him. You're divorced from Him, you're separated from Him, and He wants you to be with Him. He loves you so much. You say, well, I just don't think I'm worthy. He says that He knows you're not worthy. That's why He died, to wash your sins away. But once they're washed away, you're worthy. You become holy, and He wants to live in you as His holy temple. And that's why we have to keep ourselves holy, because a holy God is not going to live in a corrupt temple. And we can only stay uncorrupt by being in the Lord's Word, by staying in the Lord's Word. We abide in His Word, and His Word abides in us. Okay, isn't that simple?
Yes.
Even for simple-minded people?
Yes.
You don't want to admit you're simple-minded? Okay, all right. We'll let you off the hook this time. Then what?
The message of the Bible tells and leads readers to the powerful resources for completeness, all found in the supernatural Holy Scriptures. The book of Genesis is the book of the beginnings of everything.
Everything begins in Genesis. Amen?
Amen.
Every kind of life, every kind of plant life, every kind of fruit tree, every kind of living thing. Okay, then what?
Again, it tells how the heavens, it tells how the world began, and how God created everything to be good, and it originally was. It tells us about the first people and how God made them to be in His image and likeness, to be excellent. Then it tells us
God made people to be excellent, and they were excellent. When God says something is good, that means it's excellent. Then what?
Then it tells us how they sinned. It records the first days of shame and of covering themselves up.
Right, when they knew they were naked, they were ashamed. That was the first time that shame is mentioned in the Bible. So it explains everything. That was the first day of shame. Okay, then what?
It records the beginning of our separation from God, each other, and the world.
That was the beginning of the separation between mankind and God also. And it tells what?
Each other and the world God gave to us.
There's the separation between each other. Because when you don't have God, you don't have enough God in you to get along with humanity. When you see people that can't get along with humanity, then you know that they don't have God in them. Okay? If you don't love your own soul, then you don't love anybody. It's for sure you don't love God. And if you don't love God, you surely don't love anyone that's made in His image and likeness. Okay, then what?
It shows us how people with perfect health, living in a perfect place, rebelled against God. And the Bible tells the consequences of what their and our rebellion will be.
Right, the book of Genesis tells all these things. Then what?
We are, in detail, given scenes of people who are dominated by hatred, drunkenness, lust, terrible family relationships.
The Bible shows all these things. Then what?
Greed, cheating, irresponsibility, dishonesty, jealousy, violence, and many other problems. But once more, the book of Genesis doesn't leave us without hope. It shows us another beginning. It records how God chose a man whose name was Abraham, who would become the father of a new and very special nation. And through this special nation would emerge or would come the solution for our separation from God.
What is the solution for our separation from God? Jesus is the solution for our separation from God, to bring us back together. We can come back to God only through Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You understand that?
Yes.
So let's read that back.
And through this special nation would emerge...
Would come Jesus. Jesus would come out of this special nation through Israel. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't they the chosen people?
Yes.
Okay, and through Abraham, the first Jew, it says his seed, Jesus, would emerge to bring all nations into the Lord, to reconcile all nations into the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so continue reading that.
And through this special nation would emerge or would come the solution for our separation from God, each other, and the new Garden of Eden, the world God gave us.
So, and the tree of life. So, in other words, how do we get back to the tree of life? The solution to that is to get to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Get your sins covered. How do we get back to the kingdom of heaven, to be like in the Garden of Eden again? The solution is get back to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
How do we be reconciled to God again? Accept His only begotten Son and you shall be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Right now, we're going to end this tape because there's people here that have to get over to the service. And we'll continue this commentary tomorrow. And we may be able to even get into some of the verses, chapter 1 of Genesis. This is just a commentary, a preview of what Genesis is all about. Until then, the Lord bless you, and we'll get back to this tomorrow. Lord bless. Good night.